Book 5, Canto 3, Section 2. Allured to her lashes by his passionate words, her fathomless soul looked out at him from her eyes, passing her lips in liquid sounds it spoke. This word alone she uttered and said all. O Satyavan, I have heard thee and I know. I know that thou and only thou art he. Then down she came from her high carven car, descending with a soft and faltering haste, her many-hued raiment glistening in the light, hovered a moment over the wind-stirred grass, mixed with a glimmer of her body's ray, like lovely plumage of a settling bird. Her gleaming feet upon the green-gold sward scattered a memory of wandering beams, and lightly pressed the unspoken desire of earth, cherished in her too brief passing by the soil. Then, flitting like pale, brilliant moths, her hands took from the sylvan verge's sunlit arms a load of their jewel faces, clustering swarms, companions of the springtime and the breeze. A candid garland set with simple forms, her rapid fingers taught a flower song, the stanzied movement of a marriage hymn. Profound in perfume and immersed in hue, they mixed their yearnings, colored signs, and made the bloom of their purity and passion one. A sacrament of joy in treasuring palms, she brought, flower symbol of her offered life. Then, with raised hands that trembled a little now, at the very closeness that her soul desired, this bond of sweetness, their bright union sign, she laid on the bosom coveted by her love. As if inclined before some gracious god, who has out of his mist of greatness shone to fill with beauty his adorer's hours, she bowed and touched his feet with worshipping hands. She made her life his world for him to tread, and made her body the room of his delight, her beating heart a remembrancer of bliss. He bent to her and took into his own their married yearning, joined like folded hopes, as if a whole rich world suddenly possessed, wedded to all he had been, became himself an inexhaustible joy, made his alone. He gathered all Savitri into his clasp. Around her, his embrace became the sign of a locked closeness through slow, intimate years, a first sweet summary of delight to come, one brevity intense of all long life. In a wide movement of two souls that meet, she felt her being flow into him as in waves, a river pours into a mighty sea. As when a soul is merging into God, to live in him forever and know his joy, her consciousness grew aware of him alone, and all her separate self was lost in his. As a starry heaven encircles happy earth, he shut her into himself in a circle of bliss, and shut the world into himself and her. A boundless isolation made them one. He was aware of her enveloping him and let her penetrate his very soul, as is a world by the world's spirit filled, as the mortal wakes into eternity, as the finite opens to the infinite. Thus were they in each other lost a while. Then, drawing back from their long ecstasy's trance, came into a new self and a new world. Each now was a part of the other's unity. The world was but their twin self-finding scene, or their own wedded being's vaster frame. On the high glowing cupola of the day, fate tied in knot with morning's halo threads, while by the ministry of an auspice hour, heart bound before the sun, their marriage fire, the wedding of the eternal Lord and Spouse, took place again on earth in human forms. In a new act of the drama of the world, the united two began a greater age. In the silence and murmur of that emerald world, and the mutter of the priest wind's sacred verse, amid the choral whispering of the leaves, love's twain had joined together and grew one. The natural miracle was wrought once more. In the immutable ideal world, one human moment was eternal made.